SBS music station is coming.
SBS Pop Euro.
Filled with Eurovision hits non-stop.
You want more?
Tune in from the 1st of May
on DAB Radio, online,
the SBS Audio app
and SBS On Demand.
You're listening to SBS On The Money with Ricardo Gonçalves.
Hi everyone, welcome to the SBS On The Money podcast for this Friday, the 24th of April 2026, a day where the Australian share market fell, but only just the 200 down by 0.1%. We'll have a closer look at the market with Tony Sycamore from IG Markets, including details of the outlook for the tech sector ahead of some very important earnings results next week. If you're new to the podcast, welcome. We go into more detail of the top consumer finance and market news stories covered during On The Money on SBS World News. But first, where do you get your trusted financial information from? Well, if you're under the age of 28, it's increasingly likely that it's coming from online sources. But how reputable are they? ASIC says 64% of Gen Z say they trust financial information from AI platforms. That's like ChatGPT, 56% from social media, and more than half trust information from so-called Finfluencers. Some of those, however, still don't have the right credentials to offer advice, and the financial regulator is cracking down. For more, Veronica Lennard spoke with ASIC Commissioner Alan Kirkland.
ASIC has been watching influencers, particularly Finfluencers, on social media for a while. We're actively monitoring their behaviour. And we've taken action this week as part of our second global week of action, as part of regulators across the globe. So we're working with 16 other regulators in other countries because Finfluencing is a global problem. It crosses national borders and we need to act globally in order to best disrupt the behaviour that is of concern to us.
What kind of behaviours are concerning to ASIC from Finfluencers?
We are concerned where Finfluencers are encouraging people to invest their money, and particularly where the people that are doing that are not appropriately licensed. We have really clear laws in Australia that if you're giving financial advice, which essentially boils down to recommending a product or giving an opinion about a financial product, you need to be licensed or authorised by a firm that's licensed. And with that come important consumer protection. So when we see people doing that without the right license, it raises questions around whether they've got the right expertise, but it also exposes consumers to greater risk, in particular the risk of losing their money.
Do you think consumers are appropriately aware of these risks or able to kind of make the correct value judgments about what is trustworthy and not trustworthy advice online?
We know that people are using social media for information on all sorts of things. So it's not surprising they're using it for financial information. And the problem is it can sometimes be hard to know whether you're getting that information from somebody who is appropriately qualified. It's hard to know sometimes whether they're in fact getting remuneration for the recommendations they're giving, which suggests that they may not be giving you advice that's in your best interests. So that's why, as well as cracking down on Finfluencers by formally warning some that we've identified who may be breaking the law, we're also trying to warn the public about some of the red flags to look out for. And in particular, we would say to people, don't make a major money decision simply based on advice from somebody online. Go away and sense check that against other more reliable and trustworthy sources before you act.
Veronica Lennard there speaking with ASIC Commissioner Alan Kirkland. To the Australian share market now, which fell, the S&P ASX 200 down 0.1%, but it means for the week the index lost 1.8%, and it follows a slide on global markets overnight, with shares in the US down from their records. Today, materials led the market lower, led by critical resources company IGO, down 18%, but energy stocks did best. That's as the oil price continued to climb. In fact, Brent crude climbed every day this week to now be above 105 US at the market close, which means it rebounded more than 15% this week. For more, I spoke with IG market analyst Tony Sycamore. So, Tony, some global share markets hit record highs this week. The likes of the US, the S&P 500 and the NASDAQ, Japan's Nikkei, even Korea's Kospi. But over the past few days, we've seen quite a bit of a reversal. Why?
Well, as you mentioned, we saw a good start to the week, the S&P, the NASDAQ all hitting fresh record highs on the back of Trump's latest TARCO. But from there, we realised that the US-Iran standoff had really bogged down into a stalemate, and that's prompted investors to take some profits after a good run higher during April. I mean, when we look at what it's actually meaning for the ASX 200, it's been a very different story. The ASX 200 on track to finish about 2% lower, and that's been weighed down by stock-specific weakness, particularly in the healthcare and the financial sector.
We've seen oil, though, regain. It's risen for the past five sessions in a row. Is this a sign that investors are now being accustomed to the idea that the conflict may go longer than first thought and are considering their longer term or reconsidering their longer term implications?
Absolutely. I mean, the idea is that this TARCO is now indefinitely in place, which means the market now has to shift its time frame that the conflict could drag on longer than initially hoped. And with reports this week that Iran has laid fresh mines through the Strait of Hormuz, things only seem to be dragging on a little bit longer. And that now means markets have to price in sustained disruption risks.
Speaking of these longer term implications, right, we've got some inflation numbers in Australia out next week. Run us through the market's expectations and what it'll likely mean for interest rates here.
This is going to be the first inflation report that really reflects the energy disruption which we're seeing through the Middle East and higher petrol prices. So what we're going to see is headline CPI surge to around 4.9% year on year, while the trim mean is expected to rise to 3.5%. Now, both of those are accelerating further away from the midpoint of the RBA's 2-3% target band. Now, for the RBA, this report lands just days before their May 5th board meeting and will likely cement the case for a third consecutive 25 basis point rate hike this year.
And it comes just a week before the federal budget too. Next week is also a huge week internationally with global central banks meeting. What's expected?
We do. We have the ECB, the Bank of England, Bank of Japan, and the Fed all meeting next week. The consensus is they will all keep rates on hold. What will really matter more is the tone of the commentary. Now, with the oil-driven inflation shock coming through strongly, we expect hawkish language across the board, potentially laying the groundwork for the ECB, the Bank of England, and the Bank of Japan to hike rates in the months ahead.
We'll also be looking at earnings reports from some of the Magnificent Seven. So companies like Amazon, Microsoft, Meta, Alphabet and Apple next week. So far, I think it looks like Wall Street is somewhat pleased with what it's seen. How important will these reports be?
Hugely important. As you said, so far, so good with this earnings season. But the next big test comes next week, and that will be a test for the AI trade more broadly and also overall market sentiment. So what we'll be looking for is signs that this huge AI capex spending is translating into real revenue growth and margin expansion. Strong guidance from the tech giants next week could really provide a further boost to equities. Disappointment, on the other hand, the markets are teetering a little bit into the end of this week, and it would amplify some of the profit taking, which we have seen over the past few sessions.
So in wrapping up, what are you telling your clients right now, and where do you see the opportunities for investors?
Yeah, it's a tricky one. The near-term backdrop is incredibly clouded. We have the conflict in the Middle East, no real signs of an end there in place. So what we like there is, after a fantastic run, we like trimming some of the recent winners and keeping the powder dry for better entry points. Now, for those with a longer-term horizon who are comfortable with periods of consolidation, it pays to keep our minds open. Like we saw from the Liberation Day's lows last year, it is possible that we could see the rally, which kicked off in from the March lows, really extend into year end. So at this point of time, it is something whereby we've got to give the uptrend some opportunity to extend and look past this conflict.
That's IG Markets analyst Tony Sycamore, and he wraps up the podcast for this Friday and for the week. Give it a like, a review and subscribe if you do enjoy it. And don't forget, you can watch On The Money during the 6:30 weekday edition of SBS World News on SBS. The podcast returns on Monday. It drops after the market close every weekday, and I'll catch you then. This SBS On The Money podcast is provided for informational purposes only and should not be understood as constituting advice or a recommendation. It is not personal advice and it does not consider your personal circumstances or objectives. You should contact a licensed professional before making any financial decisions.
This SBS On The Money podcast is provided for informational purposes only. The content on this podcast should not be understood as constituting advice or a recommendation. It is not personal advice and does not consider your personal circumstances or objectives. You should contact a licensed professional before making any financial decision.
SBS music station is coming.
SBS Pop Euro.
Filled with Eurovision hits non-stop.
You want more?
Tune in from the 1st of May
on DAB Radio, online,
the SBS audio app
and SBS On Demand.